Our reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at the first verse. And our Lord here gives us the famous parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In this wonderful story that Jesus tells, he is here drawing a distinction between what we often refer to as the visible church and the invisible church. The visible church is those who come and gather around Christ and his word and sacraments, those who profess faith in him and say, "I'm a Christian." The invisible church are those who truly have this faith in Christ in their heart and cling to him as their Savior and so on. Now, prior to the Day of Judgment, all of these individuals look the same. Notice here when it comes to these two different groups, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. All of them were in the right location. All of them were waiting for the groom. They all had lamps. They all begin the night with oil in their lamps. That means faith in Christ. And they all fall asleep while they're waiting for him. And they all wake up when the bridegroom, when it's announced that the bridegroom has arrived. So at a certain point in this story, an account, if you will, that Jesus uses as a parable, at a certain point they all appear to be kind of in the same condition. And that's the way it is with what we call the visible church, the outward church of the Christian community. There is an outward similarity. Outwardly, everyone who is around that and in that looks as though they belong to Christ. Those who profess Christ outwardly, sit in the pews waiting for him, don't look any different from each other. And yet the distinguishing factor here between the wise and the foolish virgins in our text is the supply of oil. The one has the supply run out, and the others do not. And it's the time of delay, the time of waiting for the bridegroom to come that ultimately kind of exposes this difference and this distinction between these two groups. So let's consider the 5 foolish virgins. This is clearly the portion of the text that our Lord Jesus wants us primarily to learn from. Notice that Jesus is not here describing crass unbelievers and pagans. He's describing people that we would consider to be Christian in terms of their connection to Christ outwardly and so on, those who profess faith in him, and they're part of the outward visible church. They appear to be waiting for Christ to come back someday. But notice, on the day of Christ's return, they are well aware of what they needed. They know that they're lacking the oil, that faith in him, in other words, true trust and faith in him as their Savior. They're not in the dark about spiritual matters. There's no guessing as to what they need to go and get and what they need to do. They turn to the 5 wise virgins and say, "Give us some of your oil." They clearly have understood and known spiritual matters in the right way, we could say. But Jesus is instructing us about this. First of all, Faith is not something that is transferable from one person to the other. Yes, we can teach someone the faith. We can pray for them to grow in their faith, and we can pray that the Holy Spirit works in someone's heart. But you and I cannot transfer faith or expect to have faith transferred to us from someone else. I'm sure that when his son Absalom was rebelling against his kingdom, that King David prayed hard for his son's spiritual life. I could easily see Eli, the great priest in the Old Testament at the time of Samuel, praying for his disobedient sons, Hophni and Phinehas, that they would come back to the faith. Don't expect to be let into Christ's wedding hall, into heaven, by using your parents' name on the final day. Don't expect to rely on your spiritual pedigree or on your family connections or even your church affiliation to somehow matter on that final day for your comfort. What a sad sight our Lord gives us here in our text. We see these five foolish ones now coming too late because they had to run back to find more oil. And in desperation now, they're knocking at the door and they're being turned away. Lord, Lord, open to us, they say. And then Dr. Luther says, we hear the saddest words in all of the Bible. Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Right now, today, through my sinful mouth, and right here in this little chapel service, God Almighty in heaven holds open to you the door to heaven because of what his own son has done for each one of you, making payment for all of your sins. And by his mercy and grace right now, even through me, he is extending to you the call and the invitation to come and enter. But today is the day to prepare yourself for this. Don't put it off until tomorrow. When I was in my high school years, I remember a number of times my dad would say to me, don't trifle with God's grace. Don't trifle with God's grace. When we're young, it's very easy for us to think we got a lot of time. We're very tempted to think that I can come back to this stuff. Yeah, it matters. It's good. It's good stuff. And someday I can come back to it. Someday I'll really take Christ seriously again. Someday I'll really care again about God's word and sacraments and worship and all of that. But for right now, there's just too much else going on in my life. I got so many other more important things to be concerned about. Don't trifle with God's grace. How many people have at one point in their lives been blessed to have the oil of gladness in their heart, trusting in Christ, but have let it run dry and not been ready when they're taken from this life? You may be concerned, as I often am when I read a text like this, what if I am one of these foolish ones? Well, ask yourself, if you're concerned that you maybe don't have this oil of faith in your heart when Christ returns, if it troubles your conscience and your heart to think that you could be one of those foolish, if you desire to have this true oil but are concerned that it might be lacking in you, if you are moved to have a contrition about your sins and you look at your life and say to yourself, how could I be a child of God when I think about all the sins that I have in my life? Well, these are the very concerns that are on the hearts and minds and consciences of the five wise virgins. If you're afraid and concerned that you might not have faith in Christ and you wish you did, that's a great sign that you do. It may need strengthening, but you do. Why did our Lord Jesus give us this parable? Well, he's been to the banquet feast, he's been to the hall, and he knows how awesome it is. And he doesn't want a single one of you to miss out on that. So right now in your life, go and get some oil. Buy as much as you can. Stock up. Amen.